We understand that most dads feel undervalued and misunderstood. The goal is for you to be encouraged through real conversations about the value of fatherhood in different stages of life. Divorce is a bad word in the church community, and yet many are dealing with that reality. In this episode, we discuss the value of being a Christian parent in a broken home. Thank you for engaging our world's biggest small group series, Facing Fatherhood. I'm Pastor Chad, a father of five kids and the director of ministry at Hope Media Group. And with me today is Marcus Sullivan, who is the morning show host of Engine Radio. And we are going to hit the topic talking about parenting and fatherhood in a broken home, parenting after divorce. So welcome, Marcus.
Hey, man, how are you today?
Great, man. I just want to jump right in and just allow you to kind of share about what is your home structure right now? How many kids? How old are they? What does that look like for you?
Absolutely. And man, Chad, I got to say this. I'm so thankful that God is using me to actually talk about this subject. It's something that I don't think anybody ever would have signed up for, to be able to be like, yo, I'm the ambassador for this topic, right?
Yeah.
But when you talk about divorce, it's normal to the world, right? Yeah. Because it happens. And it's normal, it's somewhat normal to the faith-based community, but here's one thing I've learned about it in my experience, and if you're listening to this, hope you can feel me on this. As a believer, it's one of the hardest things to do, because we know what God put together, right? You hear that, and you hear for better, for worse. You hear that, and you hear, yo, this is my promise to God, not the person that I'm marrying, but to God, how I will honor this bond, this union. And as Christians, man, a lot of people are like, yo, God doesn't like divorce. God doesn't like a whole lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, man, I got so much wisdom in the last, year and a half of being single after a 13-year successful marriage. And I'll kind of go into my story. But, yes, man, I'm a father of two amazing boys. I always add that adjective in there. One 12 and one 7, about to be 8. And, man, those people that see me on social media, if you follow my social media, if you follow Engine, I have always championed family, marriage, being a father, being a husband. I always champion those things. And then here comes the curveball, right? Like you grow up and you're like, man, I desire to be the image of a good black father or a good father, or this is what I'm aiming for. But, you know, as God would have it, he has his own plan. So now my motto now is to champion fatherhood, like you said, from this topic, from a broken marriage or from a divorce standpoint, man. And so it's, in the last year and a half, it's been a whirlwind. But, man, like the way God has used my situation to help others, it's the weirdest thing. Leading the morning show on Engine, I get people to call or text and go, man, Marcus, your words, your prayer saved my marriage. And I'm like, wait, God, my word saved his, right? And so you go through that and you're like, man, and a lot of us believers go, you know, we all don't like to raise our hand to admit that we've had those why me, God moments, right? And then now I look at it like, God, why not me?
Well, and I think you hit it on the head even too. Like, this is the topic that it happens. It's there. There are people around us. But it's the thing that no one wants to talk about at times, because it's like, well, we don't want to glorify it. Like, we're trying to say, yeah, like divorce is a great thing, or that, life after divorce is reasonable. But at the same time, you're not just moving forward. You're directing people forward out of this and talking about, like, what does it look like moving forward? Yes, we were not able to keep our marriage together, but this is why we believe that hopefully you will have a great marriage as well.
And I'm glad we were talking as men, as believers, as fathers, right? And if you're listening to this, whether you're male or female, thank you for the grace, for allowing us to be transparent in this moment. And so I actually want to share how my situation, ended, right? Because, somebody can relate to it, right? And if you cannot relate to it, believe me, it could happen, right? So most of the time in real life, right? In our real world, I used this example the other day on the morning show. When if you work for a corporate organization, when somebody gets let go, somebody gets fired, somebody leaves, right? You see that corporate email, we've all seen them. It says, Marcus is no longer with us, right? We wish him the best in the endeavors, right? We all seen that email, right? And then on the receiving side, we all go, wait, what happened to Marcus, right? Or, man, what did he do, right? We always ask those two questions, what he do or what she do, what she did, and what happened, right?
Yeah.
All the time, we automatically assume something bad. And when you bring in divorce, bro, the first thing somebody goes is, what happened, right? And what he do? What did he do, right? Some people can say, what did she do? Or just mostly what's happening. But the majority of the time, it's what he did, right? Mm-hmm. And in my situation, and being very transparent, 13 years of a very successful, faithful, healthy, growing marriage, nothing happened, right?
Yeah.
You know, you hear the terms, two people have grown apart. That didn't even happen, right? For me, the word abandonment kind of happened, right? She no longer desired to be a wife, right? And so after that shock hit me, here's what was the whirlwind for me, being a leader on the microphone, leading a generation through InGen Radio, being a person on digital content, social media that champions fatherhood and everything. I struggled for months behind the scenes of saying, yo, how do I represent myself, right? To the masses as, wait, your marriage didn't work? Fatherhood, what happens? Oh, goodness, they wake up every day, their entire lives, and dad is there, right?
Yeah.
Now dad is not in the house anymore, right? Dad has his own place, you know, as the separation happened. Well, first thing we did is we sat the kids down and we just had to maturely, with God, explain to them that this is about to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And as my big boy at the time, he was 10, I think, he said, we get to the end and we ask him that one question. We ask him, do you have any questions? And as the 10-year-old would say, as any kid would say, does this have anything to do with us? Dad, do you guys still love us? And we we had to bite down and actually explain to them this had nothing to do, no love lost, right?
Yeah.
And grace of God, we're still very good friends. We talk every day. In fact, I got a text from her just this morning. We're trying to coordinate who picks up who from school today because one of my kids goes to the School of Rock. So we communicate very well. Of course, our finances are not together anymore, but we take care of things as if that we were married, because we're not married does not mean we're not parents, right? Yeah. And I try to encourage anybody, if your situation, anyway, people's situation end how they end, but every situation does not have to end ugly, messy, or bad. It does not have to.
You just gave us a powerful word, and one that I have tried to preach in my ministry from the pulpit for years and years, is that no one falls out of love or it doesn't fade away. It's a choice. You're saying it's a daily choice, and we have to recognize it as that, because if we make it so emotive, I mean, man, there are times I'm just feeling hangry and maybe I don't feel like I want to be married at that moment because it's not meeting my need, but that doesn't give me any excuse to be able to walk away. We choose love. And the longer we just keep pushing that into our mind, that love is a choice. It's not an emotion. We are going to escape some real hardship too. Let's talk a little bit about that. Like right now, what does that situation look like between the kids? Like, do they live with y'all part time, or how does that flesh itself out? And let's just call out the real challenges of it, but then let's also say benefits to this too.
All right. Matter of fact, I'll start the benefits from the kid's standpoint. I laugh and I joke, and I actually say this on stages and when I talk to men's groups and everything. Man, the kids now are so smart, right? they have tapped into, oh, mom still loves us, dad still loves us. That means, oh, it's two of everything, right?
Yeah.
Right. So when you're in a household together, it's one family summer vacation. Now it's, you know, we kind of coordinate, me and my ex-wife, we coordinate, hey, what are you doing with the boys this weekend? Hey, what are you doing this summer, right? And like last summer was the first summer that we were apart. Man, they did Disney and they did camping, like in the summer, both road trips, both flights, all of this stuff. And for Christmas, I mean, we coordinate Christmas, but like, you know, as a family, you may do it like this. You may go, okay, we give them one big gift and a lot of other little supporting gifts, right? Now it's like, dad, I want this. Mom, I want that. And so on a beneficial side. Now,
on that real quick though, like, is there a pressure for you to one up her?
No, you know, it's not a pressure, the not one up, but the pressure for me now is to, I had to tell myself, I had to go through a quick season of, Marcus, you don't have to show love through a gift. Yeah. Like, I remember the first Christmas, my son wanted a MacBook, right? He was 11 at the time. He wanted a MacBook and an iPad and an Apple Watch. Whoa, right? Now, being perfectly honest, if we're in the household together, me, you and your wife, you and your husband, you're looking at each other like, yeah, no, right? Yeah. But I originally felt the pressure of, man, I'm not there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Man, I gotta do something. And so I got him the MacBook and she got him the iPad. And I was like, what 10, 11 year old gets both of these? Like, what are we doing with this? Right. And so that was a challenge and that I had to actually learn. But the challenge as being a man, right? Ladies, you may not understand this aspect. Fellas, I hope that if you're married, you can hear me on this. And if you're single or divorced, you can understand, as a present father, because I still aim to be very present in their life. I'm at all of the events. I talk FaceTime or on the phone with them daily. We still pray together, right? We do all of these things. I still go by the house, midweek, Wednesdays. I go by, you know, just to hang out. Like, I don't even now, I had to tell myself, I don't have to go by and have an event or have something to do. I would just go by and go sit in the game room and just sit there. I might go by and sit there and watch TV. Right. Yeah. Not necessarily even hanging out with them, just to remind them of the presence. Because as a father, as a man, they're, when you're in the house, they're not under you 24/7. They just know dad's upstairs or dad's in his room. Right. And so I tried to recreate that environment. So those were the biggest challenges. But then, man, after you go through that season, the continued counseling, thank goodness for counseling. Right. You kind of still, they feel like they grow up even faster, right? And so, like, now every question that I ask them each day is very intentional. I don't go, how was your day? Because they'll go, fine. You know, yeah. I go, you know, what'd you do today? What happened today? Did you break up with your girl? You know, whatever, right? I have real conversation. And so we have real dialogue. And then I let them know, hey, dad is not your friend. Dad is your dad, right? And I am always available. I'm always available.
Is there something, like, in the day-to-day that just is the trouble?
Yeah, bro. And anybody in any relationship, married or not, you'll feel me when I say this. Now, disagreements are different. When you're married, when you're in a relationship, your disagreements, you work through them, right? You compromise more because that's what you're supposed to do, to work through. Now, we're not together, right? And if she's doing something that I don't approve of, now it's almost like, you ain't my man. You ain't my, you know what I mean? And it's like, no, you can't do that. Right. Or Marcus, you cannot, you know, or if you decide to date again, bringing other people around, you have to accept who they bring around. Right. Or you have to have conversations. So now when we have conversations, they're not necessarily business talks. I'm putting that in air quotes. But it's just like it's almost making a business deal. Like you have to have an open mind, and the disagreement, sometimes you have to bite down on it even harder, just because a disagreement now can turn into a whole fight versus the marriage. It's just like, yeah, we're going to agree to disagree. We're going to work our way through it. We'll do the compromise because that's what we're doing. Now it's like, yeah, no, you're not doing this. Or, you know, I got to put my foot down on this and vice versa. So.
So how do you do that? Like, is there a point where you're like, I'm not going to get through to her on this. I'm going to have to give on this, or like, what does that look like? Cause that's the real deal. Like right now,
man, right now, even talking, my heart is pounding because it's been a year and a half and it trips me out. I'm like, thank you, God. Like, it was like, we've been so peaceful, right?
Yeah.
We've been more peaceful in this year and a half than in the marriage. You can argue with your spouse over, man, chicken or turkey tonight, right? And right? And so, like, now we've been so on the same page. I think because neither one of us is confrontational, right? So we're kind of like, yeah, cool, do this. Okay, do that. Okay, cool, right? And we haven't had that big disagreement. So I'm like, wait, no relationship should be all the way. We agree on everything. That's not a real relationship either, right? And so I'm still praying about what happens when we have that first big disagreement. But like on other things, when it comes to the boys, right, as we're again being, and this is about fatherhood, we are both quick to say, nah, right? I remember she sent me a text and she was like, don't buy him that, right? Or don't take him there.
Yeah.
Because she was like, he don't need that. And I was like, all right, well, cool. right? Because I'm, again, going back to what I was saying, like, in both of us, we try to overcompensate for not being present.
And so but that's mature, though. What you're saying is very mature, because if you weren't in a good place, you're like, I'm going to just do that to tick her off a little bit, or I'm going to do this just because someone told me not to. But you really, at the end of the day, she's not saying that because she was trying to make you look bad. She's really caring about what's best for the kids. And I think that's sometimes a struggle in divorce, is people are trying to get back at the other one. So they're going to overcompensate and buy the kid everything so that it looks like they're the good parent or feel more love because they provided everything. Or they're going to be the one, just trying to make sure the, you know, it's just working towards not making the other person look good. But you're saying here, part of being mature about this is we care the most about the kid, and we have to be able to say, this isn't good for the kid. Where was your church experience in the midst of the divorce and kids? And is that a place you felt like you could lean into? Is it a place, you know, move away from? Like, I just really want to hear about that. And then what is your encouragement towards others as it relates to how to engage the church? Cause I know that just gets sticky sometimes.
Bro, okay, so I'm going to use the church, and I'm going to use our company right now, Hope Media, right? And you, sir, you, ma'am, listening, compare this to your church and your job as a believer, right? That was the hardest, right? That was the hardest because, I don't, and Chad, I'm sure you like this, you surround yourself with people like yourself, right? Yeah. And so, man, imagine all of our friends. They were our friends. To this day, most of my friends are married. Right.
Yeah.
And then you go through yours. And it's like, I had real friends, real church members to say, yeah, bro. Yeah, I can't hang around you. And it's like, wait, we've been rocking like forever. Right. And it's like, yeah, my wife not really good with, you know, you not being a married man no more. Like, and you're like, but I'm still Marcus. Yeah. But so that was the hard. It was one of the hardest things. And think about you, sir, you, ma'am, listen, and think about some of the relationships to where you guys, you're friends as a couple, but the other spouse brought that relationship to your relationship, right? And I had the worst anxiety. I lost sleep of, man, how am I going to be looked at, right? Now when I go to church, I no longer have a ring on. And now I'm walking around single. Like, are the dudes looking at me like, is he looking at my wife now? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, and so that was the hardest thing as a believer to still say, yo, I'm the same, Marcus.
Yeah.
I just no longer have a spouse, right? Yeah. And then, like I said in the very beginning of this, Christians, we're quick to be like, God doesn't like divorce. Wait, you know, sometimes it's out of my hands. But I'm like, I'm not God. I can't make somebody stay with me.
And it's not even just a divorce thing, not to diminish that at all. But like my mom, who's a widow, has told me that she's like, you don't even understand what it's like until you, and she's lost someone. She didn't do anything wrong. He died. Like, but she's like, all of a sudden the couples don't want you as a third wheel. It's different when you go to church. She's like, I'll go sit by myself or those sort of things. Like, hey, you see those people around you who are divorced, widowed, whatever the reason they're even just single, like, let's care for people who are by themselves. This is the body of Christ. We're all here to worship together. Invite them to come sit with you. Nobody wants to sit by themselves. I guarantee you.
Well, I can say this. She stopped attending the church that we, I think she goes somewhere else or even not goes. I don't know, but I make sure. Of course, I get the boys pretty much every weekend, and then they go to church with me, and they're actually really active in the church, right? And so, which is really good. And then I see a lot of people go; they kind of commend the fact that I did not stop going, or I did not let that, you know, deter me from serving or like doing that part. Some people do that, but then you get some people to go, hey man, you know, as the guy now, and it's, I hate to say it, but like, in our society, most of the time when the divorce or separation happens, the mom is the one that usually steps up with the kids and everything. But in my situation, man, I've been even more active in the church with my kids, or just being a parent, just being even more.
I just want to point us to the scripture where Paul tells the Corinthians this, and it's not specific to divorce, but it is specific to trials. And he says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. And I think that as we do that, and I'm convicted as a father, like how I treat my wife is how my kids will interpret how God cares for them. But at the same time, as a divorced father, how you treat your kid's mom is how they are going to see Christ. Whether you're married or not, they're going to continue to do that. So if you're treating her like a jerk, you know, they're seeing that.
Yeah, we still, like, even Mother's Day just passed recently, and I still, well, what I did was I told them to go pick out their Mother's Day card, but I still dropped a $25 gift card and a Visa card. Just do whatever you want with it, because I personally still say thank you, right, for giving birth to those boys, because I got two amazing boys because of what you did. So I forever honor that. Whether we get along or not, it's like, yo, I don't have them without you. So thank you.
Well, man, Marcus, thank you so much for sitting and having the conversation about this. And I hope others are encouraged through this, that we're not here to point the fingers to say, hey, you're divorced. But more to encourage each other. Hey, as a divorced dad, how can we encourage each other? I encourage others to get into church, to be able to find even other divorced dads, just to say, how do we encourage each other? I know how to pray for you. You know how to pray for me. But more than that, that as maybe you're listening to this and you're not a divorced dad, but you see someone struggling, like, go reach out, because like Marcus said, it's turns your world upside down. If you don't listen to Engine Radio, I listen in the car with my kids every morning. Yeah. And one thing that I love in the mornings, right before we drop off, it's timed perfectly, is Marcus leads in prayer.
Prayer, man.
What do you say about prayer, man?
Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer,
no power. Yeah, will you close us in prayer for those dads struggling right now?
Absolutely. Father God, we just thank you for this moment right now, God. Thank you for this space, God. Thank you for this platform and this media outlet that allows us the space to show imperfections, God, that allows us the space to be transparent. And God, you are such a good God. And God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy to any father out there, maybe any mother out there, or wife or ex-wife or husband or ex-husband that is hearing this and hearing the sounds of our words, God. Allow them to have a space to where they can release, or they can learn and understand that this is still truly a situation for believers and non-believers. God, heal marriages where they still can be saved, God, and then allow people to still grow and flourish under the kingdom, even if they're not in a union or in a bond as it may have ended. God, we thank you. We love you. We say all of our prayers in the name of Jesus. We can say amen.
Don't stop your journey here. Check out the accompanying World's Biggest Small Group Study. Text the word GROW, that's G-R-O-W, to 67101.